following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight with Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right. Welcome to a Tuesday. And breaking news right off the bat, this fresh off the hot off the presses. Jeff Flake, Senator Jeff Flake of Arizona, has announced he will not seek re-election in 2018. Jeff Flake, who was up for a very intense fight against a Steve Bannon chosen woman named Kelly Ward, who's one of those kind of right-wing crazies. Jeff Flake, one of the more moderate of the GOP variety, said, well, let me read to you from ArizonaCentral.com, condemning the nastiness of Republican politics in the era of President, Senator Jeff Flake on Tuesday announced he will serve out the remainder of his term but will not seek re-election in 2018. The bombshell, which Flake, R. Arizona, intended to detail Tuesday afternoon on the Senate floor, will further roil Republican hopes of keeping the party's 52-seat Senate majority in the midterm elections of Trump's first term when the president's party historically loses seats in Congress. It also likely will upend the race for Flake's seat. Here's the thing. So on the right, unless somebody else jumps into the race, who's a bit more acceptable, Kelly Ward will be the Republican nominee. On the left, unfortunately, the Democrats, as Howie Klein tells us, are getting behind Kyrsten Sinema, who is one of the worst of the worst. She's got the worst voting record in the House of Representatives. She votes more than any other Democrat in the House with the Republicans. And for what reason Chuck Schumer is so high on her, I have no idea. But that's who they're offering up for the Democrats. So what could be, you know, a really good pickup for the Dems looks like it may be a pickup, but yeah, not great. Anyway, that is the big breaking news for today. Interesting, just a few minutes before, like maybe 30 seconds before I saw the first alert on Twitter that Jeff Flake wasn't going to run for re-election. Somebody else had tweeted out that a Flake spokesman wouldn't comment on the rumor that Flake wasn't going to run for re-election, and someone else chastised that tweeter for making it up. Boy, things happen quickly. And yeah, that's one of the reasons that when Gotta Laugh is with me on Tuesdays, we do the tweet spot, because so much happens so quickly. And if you've mastered the Twitters, as Laffy has, you get the stuff like immediately before it goes out anywhere else. So there's that. Today started weirdly. I didn't watch all the morning shows, but apparently Bob Corker did all of them. Well, did the major network morning shows. He did ABC, CBS, and NBC all before 9 o'clock this morning. And I happened to catch the clip of him on ABC talking on Good Morning America with George Stephanopoulos. And well, it was kind of an interest. You could hear Bob Corker wanted to get a lot off his chest.
I don't make comments that I haven't thought about. The first comment was obviously in response to a very fallacious tweet that the president sent out. The second comment, really, when you look at the fact that we've got this issue in North Korea and the president continues to kneecap his diplomatic representative, the Secretary of State, and really move him away from successful diplomatic negotiations with China, which is key to this, you're taking us on a path to combat. And so, you know, I want to support these efforts that are underway. The president undermines our Secretary of State, raises tensions in the area by virtue of the tweets that he sends out. And I would just like for him to leave it to the professionals for a while and see if we can do something that's constructive for our country, the region, and the world.
Yeah, do something constructive. I think we've missed that boat. Yeah, that train left a long time ago. The best we could hope for is that he doesn't do grave danger to not only our nation, but the planet. And I'm not convinced that that won't happen in the 3 years and 2 months, 3 months we have left with this guy at the helm. I got to think Trump is loving Bob Corker today because it's taking the attention off of, the Gold Star family that, who's calling? I don't know. This is a good idea, but we'll try it anyway. Hi, who's this?
Barbara calling from Arizona.
Hey, Barbara. Oh, you live in Arizona. So what do you think about the news about Jeff Flake?
Well, Flake has always been a flake. I mean, the history of, they're making him out to be some kind of hero, and basically he's just a mealy mouth. You know, he never commits one way or another, and he's always on the right. Kristen, who I've known for years, is a huge disappointment, but at the same time, she's probably the only, we don't get a lot of support here, the Democratic Party. They've ignored us since they took Janet Napolitano away, and Janet from another planet took over as governor. So we've had a Republican take us over, the Republican Party. And we were kind of in the middle of the road when Janet Napolitano was our governor. We had a lot of Democrats.
So you had Janet Napolitano, and then you got stuck with Jan Brewer after she was tapped to
Janet from another planet.
DHS,
So Flake has never been, maybe because he's not running, he'll open his mouth and say something, but he's kind of corrupt and always has been. Kristen is, I think the reason why they're running her is because she's very articulate. So she, whether or not, I don't like her, I never did, but whether or not she, we don't have anybody. I mean, we need, unless we can get a Goldwater to run, as a Democrat.
Raul Grijalva, but I asked Howie Klein about Raul Grijalva, and he said he doesn't want it. He's quite happy.
Oh, no, because there's too much racism in the state for him to do that.
Yeah.
You can't run a Latino man without, the snowbirds who come here and vote, flipping out. If they ran the elections in the summer without the people who come in from the white, snowflakes that come in the winter to vote in November, we'd have a different state.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very strange because we have two populations.
What do you know of this? What do you know of this Kelly Ward woman? She's out there.
She's a Nazi lunatic. I mean, she's out of her mind.
Yes. Right.
This
So maybe Kyrsten Sinema will win, and we'll get another blue dog-ish because there aren't blue dogs.
Well,
in the
we can try to at least we can try to push her.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, but they've never given us any money. The DNC has completely ignored the state in elections. We've begged for some kind of support, financial, whatever, for the Democrats here, and it's just, for the last 20 years has never come. The good news is that we have a great Latino Democratic person who's running the elections in Maricopa County now.
Oh, that's good.
So we voted out, and we voted out Sheriff Joe. So we've got, there is a core of reasonable people that are voting in some good candidates. Fortes is his last name, and he's a wonderful, wonderful. You look him up; he's our county. I can't remember what it is, but he's the one who counts the votes and does the elections now.
Supervisor of elections.
Pardon me?
Probably the supervisor of elections.
Well, no, he's not the supervisor of elections. It's I can't remember. I'm 65, you know. It's like my brain's gone down the tubes. But you can look him up. It's, okay. I think it's Fortes, F-O-R-T-E-S. Or,
all right. Well, at least you got somebody good in there.
Yeah, I'll send it to you if I can. And the other thing I wanted to talk about, because, I mean, it would be nice to get Arizona, because I know the people here think one way, and then there's another whole other group of people that think another way, but you'd be surprised. A lot of confusion. We lost our radio station, our liberal radio station, so that's a little disconcerting. But we did get some good candidates in, and we got Sheriff Joe out. And Sheriff Joe was denied his bid to get his the judge said, no, you're going to still be accused, and, you know, the conviction stands.
Okay, well, okay, I don't know how that works with the presidential pardon, though.
Well, the pardon is the pardon, but he's still going to have it on the record. He wanted his record expunged, and he wanted to run for election, and but his record is not going to be expunged.
Okay, well, that's good.
I don't know how it works either, but they said no, which is a good thing.
Okay, well, good to know.
And the other thing I wanted to just put in your ear really quick, that Russia, this is on a whole other subject, but on TASS, T-A-S-S,
yeah,
and African, that the Russians have made a military deal within August with Niger.
Okay, I don't know anything about that, so you got me there. I have no idea.
Well, Niger, where the soldiers were killed?
Yeah, or Niger, as they're now pronouncing it for some reason.
Oh, is it Niger? I don't know how to pronounce it. Anyway, that Russia, look this up. I mean, I've got three news things from TASS and from Africa News that in August, the Russians made a military cooperation deal with that country, and now suddenly we're fighting? What, are we the Russian army now?
Okay, I have no idea. I have no idea what's going on with Russia and Niger. I don't know, but I'll look into it.
Nobody knows what's going on. It's all over the news in Africa. It's all over the news in Russia. They've, a TASS, T-A-S-S.
Yeah, that's a Russian news agency, which I don't trust as far as I can throw. So anyway, Barbara, I'm going to run along because, again, that's a topic I know nothing about. So I'm going to let you go. I know I was talking about Bob Corker. You know what we'll do? We'll take a quick time out. We'll do what's news. We'll bring Gotta Laugh on, and we'll do Tweet Spot because there's so much going on today that we do know about. So we'll get to that in just a moment. All right?
All right. I read the news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
At a press briefing Monday afternoon, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Joseph Dunford, said that American troops who came under fire in Niger during a deadly ambush might have waited more than an hour before calling for help. Saying he didn't want to speculate why they waited, he speculated. My judgment would be that the unit thought they could handle the situation. He admitted that there was still a lot about what happened that they don't know.
We feel pretty confident in what took place before this patrol moved out. We know the general route that the patrol took before they came back in. What happened from the time the patrol went out on the operation till the time they returned? There's been a lot of speculation and a lot of reports, and that's why I want to baseline today what we know and what we don't know. And what you're asking is a fair question, but we don't know that definitively right now. I can't answer it definitively. And what I'm trying to do today is to be very candid in what do we know. I'll share with you where I've seen speculation, and then what are the fundamental questions we're asking. And the questions that we're asking, you know, this is a very complex situation that they found themselves in, a pretty tough firefight. And what tactical instructions the commander on the scene gave at a given time that caused units to maneuver and where they might have been when Sergeant Johnson's body was found, those are all questions that we'll identify during the investigation.
He did say that, despite Sarah Sanders' statement to the contrary, it is appropriate for reporters to ask questions, and that the families of the fallen soldiers and the American people deserve answers.
I think first and foremost, in this particular case, we owe the families as much information as we can find out about what happened. And we owe the American people an explanation of what their men and women were doing at this particular time. When I say that, I mean men and women in harm's way anywhere in the world. They should know what the mission is and what we're trying to accomplish when we're there. And so those are all fair questions in my judgment. In other words, that's why we're out here today, is to take your questions and provide as much information as we have. The only thing I'm asking for today is a bit of patience to make sure that what we provide to you when we provide it is factual. But again, with regard to being transparent, I think we do owe the families and the American people transparency in incidents like this, and we intend to deliver just that.
Maisha Johnson, the widow of LaDavid Johnson, appeared on Good Morning America on Monday. She backed up Congresswoman Frederica Wilson's account of the phone call from the president.
Me and my family was in the limo to receive my husband from, I think that was Dover. And we was literally on the airport strip getting ready to get out. And he called Master Sergeant Neil's phone. I asked Master Sergeant Neil to put his phone on speaker so my aunt and uncle could hear as well. What he said was...
The president.
Yes, the president. Said that he knew what he signed up for, but it hurts anyway. It made me cry because I was very angry at the tone of his voice and how he said it. Like he couldn't remember my husband's name. The only way he remembered my husband's name because he told me he had my husband report in front of him. And that's when he actually said, LaDavid. I heard him stumbling on trying to remember my husband's name. And that was hurting me the most, because if my husband is out here fighting for our country, and he risked his life for our country, why can't you remember his name?
Trump tweeted shortly after the interview aired that he had had a, quote, very respectful conversation with her and, quote, spoke his name from the beginning without hesitation. A House-passed disaster relief bill cleared a procedural vote in the Senate Monday evening by a 79-16 vote, setting up a final vote as soon as Tuesday. All 16 no votes came from Republicans. The bill would provide $36.5 billion for hurricane relief, a flood insurance program, and wildfire recovery efforts in the West. New sexual harassment allegations against Bill O'Reilly came to light this week with a New York Times report that revealed the former Fox host paid out $32 million to settle a claim by longtime Fox News analyst Lise Wiehl. In a meeting with the New York Times reporters who broke the story, O'Reilly denied the charges and went a bit ballistic.
I've been in the broadcast business, journalism business, 43 years. I've never had one complaint filed against me by a coworker in any human resources department in 43 years. And that encompasses 12 different companies.
We have physical proof that this is bullshit. Bullshit. Okay? So, it's on you if you want to destroy my children further. All right? Because it's all crap. Why don't you be human beings once? This is horrible. It's horrible what I went through. Horrible what my family went through. This is crap. And you know it. It's politically and financially motivated. And we can prove it with shocking information. But I'm not going to sit there in a courtroom for a year and a half and let my kids get beaten up every single day of their lives by a tabloid press who would sit there, and you know it. I got the
news. And that's a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. The Nicole Sandler Show is still heard live Tuesdays through Fridays from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern at NicoleSandler.com and from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern on the Progressive Voices Network.
Can't afford a monthly donation? Is that what's getting you down, Bunky? But maybe you shop on Amazon.com occasionally?
Well then, just use the NicoleSandler.com Amazon portal and we'll get a small commission on all your purchases.
But I just bought...
Don't worry, we can't see what you bought.
Just bookmark Amazon through the NicoleSandler.com portal and use it. Every purchase helps Nicole stay on the air.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Yes, every Tuesday we get together with our pal Gotta Laugh, and we talk about whatever's going on in the news. Hello?
Yes, you've reached the Trump versus a pregnant military widow hotline.
Good, I was looking for that number.
Yes, well, you found it right here. Press 1 if you think Maisha Johnson knows about how as much about how and why her husband got killed as Trump knows about empathy.
Yeah.
If only I could have gotten that out of my mouth. Press 2 if you think Trump feuding with a pregnant Gold Star widow is just his way of saying he only bullies the best people.
Yeah.
Press 3 if you think when Johnson said Trump couldn't remember her husband's name, Trump shot back, "Oh yeah? Well, I can't remember my own name either, so what's your point?"
Yeah.
Have a nice day.
Yeah.
God. Yeah. So apparently I didn't have the sound on, but Jeff Flake is laying it out on the Senate floor bigly. Wowzies.
Wow. So he's going off. I know you're following along on Twitter. So he's going off on both the Trump and the Republicans, huh?
Yeah. We can go right to TweetSpot because I've got about a dozen tweets on this.
All right. Well, then let's do it.
Welcome to my TweetSpot.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, when it happens right at the beginning of the show, there's not a lot I can do.
I know. And Twitter is exploding on this. All three of the networks have it on live. I wish we could, jump in on the beginning. But what I have here is Flake is flaming Trump on the Senate floor. This is from Daniel Dale from Toronto Star. Reckless, outrageous, and undignified behavior has become excused as telling it like it is. That's one. It's still going on. Flake from Manu Raju. Mm-hmm. Reckless, outrageous, and undignified. Such behavior does not project strength, Mr. President. I rise today to say enough. Matthew Miller, who is MSNBC justice guy and security guy. This is a remarkable speech. Flake isn't just calling out Trump, but all of his GOP colleagues. It keeps going. Robert Costa from The Washington Post. Flake, segment of my party believes anything short of unwavering loyalty is suspect, but being critical is, quote, my obligation. Associated Press, breaking, Jeff Flake bemoans, quote, flagrant disregard of the truth and decency in politics, says heaven help us.
Wow.
Jennifer Bendery of HuffPost, when the next generation asks us, why didn't you do something? Why didn't you speak up? I know what I'm going to say, ripping into the GOP. This is from Bendery. Ed O'Keefe of Washington Post, Flake, we must stop pretending that the conduct of some in our executive branch are normal. They are not normal. And then Daniel Dale again, Flake is making a lengthy case against Republican elected officials staying silent about Trump. He suggests it's immoral. And then he goes on, he has a million tweets up here.
See one. Right. Robert Costa just wrote, Flake warns that if Trump ban in politics take hold in the U.S., country will become home to, quote, fearful, backward looking people. I'm seeing it now. Just tweet after tweet is all about what Jeff Flake is saying. Beth Fooey calling fake things true and true things fake. Have you heard this CNN ad that they're running now? It's a promo.
Yeah. The apples and bananas.
Yes.
One.
In fact, let me play it because for those who don't know what we're talking about, this is a new promo that's running on CNN. And what you see on the screen is just it's a white background and an apple. And here's the voiceover.
This is an apple. Some people might try to tell you that it's a banana. They might scream banana, banana, banana over and over and over again. They might put banana in all caps. You might even start to believe that this is a banana. But it's not. This is an apple.
And then the graphic just says facts first.
The only problem with that is that CNN puts on a lot of bananas.
Yes, they do. They put on a lot of bananas on their panels. So, you know, they don't identify, well, that person is actually a banana, not an apple. That is a problem. You know, MSNBC does it as well. That's the
oh, they all do
they
it.
All
it's
do it.
It, you know, Both sides. Southpaw, New York Southpaw, who is a lawyer, he says, brave speech fails to name president it criticizes.
Oh, see, I hate that.
Damn. Yeah.
If you're going to say it, say it. I mean, why? It was like, you know, you had John McCain, Barack Obama, and George W. Bush. All three make speeches within the course of a week or a couple of days. And yet none of them called him out by name, although we knew that they were all talking about him.
Right, right. I mean, I understand presidents not doing it because they have a certain set of presidential standards they follow. But come on, yeah. This guy's quitting the Senate. So
yep.
Here's another quote from CBS. Were the shoe on the other foot, would Republicans accept such behavior on display from dominant Democrats? Of course we wouldn't. That's true. He's saying that about the Republicans.
Okay.
Like if Trump did what the Democrats did with Trump's doing, would you accept it from them?
I would hope not. I wouldn't.
No, exactly.
Right.
Senators on the floor for Flake, and there's a list of a lot of senators here: Shaheen, Corker, McCain, Stabenow. Anyway, and while all this was going on, an appeals court gave the pregnant, undocumented immigrant teenager permission to get that abortion.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well, I would think she's running up against the clock by now. So I'm hoping that she's able to get it sooner rather than later.
Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what worries me. Apparently, then McConnell and now McCain are up on the floor in the Senate. And Barb in MD from Maryland from Daily Coast says, McConnell, I haven't read this. This is cold. McConnell is such a cowardly puke. Gets up, says Flake is a great guy, but doesn't address what he actually said. Pathetic. I knew I could count on her. Oh, my gosh. Anyway, so that's happening.
Wow. Wow.
That's going to sort of steal Trump's little tax reform, tax cut for the wealthy.
Well, apparently,
corporations thunder.
Yeah, apparently the luncheon, he, according to some of the reports that I read on Twitter, he didn't really talk much about his tax cuts.
Right. I actually have a tweet about that or two. I can't. I'm going to have to go in order though, because I can't read just from my tabs which one is which. I have to kind of
go
take
them.
A guess. but anyway, well, let's start. Why don't we start with the ones, you know, that I have, that we both have, and then I'll take up today's.
Okay.
Okay, so I already told you about the teen in custody. Okay. First of all, yesterday, this was just something I picked up, during the Medal of Honor ceremony for the Vietnam veteran that Trump was trying to do, but he couldn't because he's such an idiot.
Really? I didn't watch it. I didn't know what happened.
It was, nobody picked up on it. I tweeted it out and a few people did pick up on it, but he said, you know, I said, watch him make it about himself. Right.
Of course.
And he did. He said he was talking about, I don't know who he was talking about, but he said he died in a fantastic place where I just left Alabama.
Okay.
He had to make it about him. It didn't matter
right.
what this, you
know, it had to be about him. Talking.
Yes.
Oh, God.
Come on. Anyway, all right. So David Corn yesterday, he tweeted, jerk at the airport just told me Ms. Johnson's account of Trump call, and he calls it bullshit. It's hard to read because he wrote in Twitter code here.
Uh-huh.
Me. How do you know? Him. They released the recording of the call. Me. They did not. Him. It's on the internet. Me. It's not. Him. It is. Me. Bet you $50. Him. Silence.
Right.
And so Sam Stein of the Daily Beast responded with RNC email, quote, the Russia investigation. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is a whole different one.
A different
I'm
tweet.
Sorry.
Right.
That was out of order. Yeah.
Yeah.
So people are being totally irrational about this poor Mrs. Johnson, who is going through utter hell, and they and Trump's little minions don't care.
No, they don't care. And they're willing to lie and say, oh, the call is on the internet. No, it isn't. You know, and they lie about that. There's no transcript of the call. There's no recording of the call.
No, of course not.
And yet Trump keeps this alive. I mean, even up to yesterday morning when he tweets out basically calling her a liar.
Yeah. Of course he did. And she has plenty of backup on her side, including that video of Representative Wilson doing her thing that John Chief of Staff Kelly claimed was absolutely horrific, and how she made it all about herself, which it wasn't. It was about the Republicans and getting some funding.
But it was about the FBI agents. It was touting the FBI agents, and it wasn't about getting funding. And as she pointed out, she wasn't even in Congress when the funding for that building was authorized.
Exactly right. I meant funding for the FBI thing. Yeah. Okay. So Sam Stein, this is what I started to read. I misread my order here. Sam Stein of the Daily Beast said in an RNC email, it said the Russia investigation is turning on Democrats, citing Tony Podesta news.
Right.
And Adam Blickstein, I hope I said that properly, he's a national security guy and press secretary for somebody in the House Intel Committee. He said, glad the RNC is finally agreeing that the Russia investigation is completely legitimate and fact-based. So,
yeah, because if they're turning on the Democrats, all of a sudden now they'll pay attention.
Yep. Yep. Of course, right. Like they're doing today with Hillary Clinton again on the Iranian thing.
Ay, ay.
Which is absolutely bogus, because I, on both PolitiFact, which is sometimes not reliable, but also on Snopes, they are dead wrong about this. They're just apparently Trump gave the order to attack Hillary finally, and his loyal little people on whatever committee it is it not judiciary? Which committee would this be?
I think it's the House Intel. It's Devin Nunes who came out and said
they're opening
another investigation into Hillary Clinton.
Right. So here we go again. So he's going to try to steal headlines. It's not going to work. Joy Reid said, a president who dodged the draft and repeatedly disrespected veterans and Gold Star families awarding the Medal of Honor, the mind reels. You know, that is exactly what crossed a lot of our minds. Watching him do this holier than thou, let me place this around your neck and I'll be lucky if I don't choke you. And he had bone spurs and refused to enlist. So,
right.
You know, which I mean, I don't blame, you know, honestly, Vietnam War.
I know,
I don't blame him.
But still, John McCain had a really good point. In fact, I'll play the audio when he talked about it. It came down to who has money and who doesn't.
One aspect of the conflict, by the way, that I will never, ever countenance is that we drafted the lowest income level of America, and the highest income level found a doctor that would say that they had a bone spur. That is wrong. That is wrong. If we're going to ask every American to serve, every American should serve.
Yep. By the way, the doctor who wrote his bone spur note was the father of the doctor who said he's the best, you know, his crazy doctor. It was his father.
Really?
Yes.
That's priceless.
Yes.
Oh my God.
I thought you'd
crazy
appreciate
doctors.
That. Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So Rand Paul said in a tweet, you know, you were in too many wars in too many places when even warmonger Lindsey Graham can't keep track anymore.
Ooh. I don't even know what that's in reference to, but ooh.
I can't remember either. At the time I knew, but I have so many tweets that completely slipped of my mind. So Southpaw, the same lawyer who I quoted earlier, he said a window into how far down the organization org chart the buck is being passed. What was that from? What is wrong with me today? You know, it's really windy here in the LA area. It's very windy. Things are
hot,
like falling
right?
over.
You're very hot today, aren't you?
Yes. Yes. It's 100 and something, and it's extremely windy. Like, I really have things falling over in my yard. And whenever it gets like this, I don't know why, but my brain falls out. It just, I don't know what it is, but it's a direct thing.
Well,
so
that
no
goes with
that
the Matthew Iglesias tweet below it.
Oh, thank you.
It was talking about the General Dumford press conference. And he wrote, it's not clarifying very much beyond the fact that the Pentagon doesn't know what happened. And that's
right.
What Southpaw was commenting on, saying a window into how far down the org chart the buck is being passed. I watched most of that press conference, and it was mind blowing to me how long it took him to say, we really don't know a whole lot. And
so I'm glad you said that.
And
I'm
how much
so
came out afterwards. I mean, he gave this whole press conference in which he really said nothing. And then in the couple of hours immediately following it, all of a sudden, all of this, it was an ambush and they went out looking for a guy.
An ISIS guy.
Oh
yeah. And my tweet was, it was who's on first, because every time he was asked a question, he would say, well, I don't know, you'd have to ask so-and-so, or I don't know, we haven't figured that out yet. Or
you're going to have to be patient with me. You're going to have to be patient with us while we get to that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, God. All right. So here's something that I thought was important, and it's not getting that much attention at all on Twitter. A couple of people are retweeting it now, but Vets Against Trump, quoting the Army Times more or less, did a tweet storm.
Okay.
And I wish people would pay attention to this because it scares me. A majority of, this is long. We can split it up if you want. I'll paragraph by paragraph. Did
okay.
I break it up for you?
You did.
Yeah. A majority of troops say white nationalism is a national security threat. Let's say that again. A majority of troops say
yes.
White nationalism is a national security threat. They say it's more dangerous than Iraq, Syria, or Afghanistan. These are all separate tweets, by the way. Troops report that white nationalism is a serious threat, saying it's no comparison with, quote, protest movements, quote, civil obedience, unquote. Take it away.
Why do troops recognize this? Because they see the threat of white nationalism inside the military itself. Oh, boy. That's a huge problem. According to the poll, 1 in 4 troops and 42% of non-white troops personally knew of a white nationalist serving in uniform with them. If white nationalism is so widespread in the active duty military, it's no surprise its poison has infiltrated the veteran community, too.
Think about that one.
Wow.
The Nazis in Charlottesville included groups led by active duty military service members. This isn't just limited to, quote, a few bad apples who slipped through. The poll contains more shocking revelations. Nearly 1 in 20 poll responses were open white nationalists defending it as an ideology and attacking minority civil rights movements.
Wow. These open white nationalists included senior leaders. Military Times cited one anonymous Navy commander, O5, and one Air Force NCO. The infiltration of the military by white nationalists undermines everything the military is supposed to stand for. Hashtag vets versus hate. This is frightening.
It's very frightening. A clear majority of troops recognize the threat and reject white nationalism. We must take the danger of the extremists seriously.
Veterans must come together as hashtag vets versus hate to denounce white nationalists and take our institutions back from extremism.
This is all the more difficult when commander-in-chief is weak on Nazis and they march with torches in his name. I'd say he's more than weak on Nazis. I'd say he supports them outright.
Yeah, he's complicit. He's complicit with them.
Yeah, absolutely. So that is we're talking the military here. This isn't some off group, and it's the Military Times or the Army Times rather that posted this, and they're a neutral outlet, just so you know.
Right.
So this is crazy. I mean, people are letting this. I hope they're not letting this happen. But overall, we're not hearing this. It's off the radar.
Right. No, I had no idea that was going on. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that happens in the military that's frightening. You know, there's what's his name? Mikey Weinstein from the Military Religious Freedom Foundation that, you know, he's all about all of the cult-like aspects of how they push Christianity on the military, inside the military, with Bible verses, engraved on gun scopes and things like that. I mean,
I've written about that a lot.
Yeah, I know.
In my past, I mean, this was like back during the Bush administration.
Yeah.
The little religious, slip-ins into the guns.
Yep.
Amazing. And that was allowed to go on for some time.
Yeah. And so now, you know, this stuff is happening. I'm not surprised. But the good news is that, you know, what they're saying is the majority of them are pushing back against it. I think this is a very loud and vocal minority, but they're loud and vocal. And that's why we need to push back on them.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Okay. So Politico's, Seung Min Kim, I'm sorry about
Close
the first
enough.
Name, Sungmin Kim, asked for his petition on CSR deal.
His position.
John Corn. I'm sorry?
His position. You said
what
petition.
What did I say? did I say position?
You said petition.
I said petition?
Yes.
Oh my God, what's wrong with me today? Okay, ask for his position on CSR deal. John Cornyn responds, I'm with the president. I asked where Trump is, and Cornyn throws his hands in the air.
And CSR is the cost sharing reductions in the Alexander Murray deal for the Affordable Care Act.
Yeah, the subsidies. Yes. And Chris Murphy said that's the state of the Republican Party defined.
Yes, it is.
Where they just basically don't know anything, but they're blindly going along with everything. Let's just do this. You know, let's just we need a win.
That's how they act. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that they don't know what the position is. It doesn't matter, but they're with him.
Here's another quote from Jeff Flake that just happened to pop up on my phone. He says, impulse to threaten and scapegoat could turn U.S. and the Republican Party into fearful, backward-looking people. They already are, but okay. The heat is getting to me, Francie, in chat. Oh, my God. It's really the wind that gets to me, the heat I can take.
So you're getting the Santa Ana winds up there in Ventura County, huh?
Yeah. Really, they're strong.
Tonight the World Series begins, and they're saying that at game time, I guess it's 5 o'clock out there, the temperature should be like right around 100 degrees, which will be the hottest it's ever been at a World Series baseball game.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be the hottest ever. It's going to be miserable for the players. And if it stays windy into the evening, it's going to affect the pitches and stuff. So, oh boy, I'm watching my planters fall over as we speak.
Wow.
Powsies. All right, so Benji Sarlin. He said, and he's for NBC, he said, easy to get sidetracked, but the world is watching well-established top legislator on foreign affairs call his own party's president unfit. We're talking about Corker here. That doesn't exactly help Trump, given many of his biggest foreign policy priorities are incredibly alienating to allies and rivals alike. I got through that without messing up. Message the world is getting now is that Trump, GOP foreign relations chair, and Trump's own secretary of state are in constant open disagreement. If you're a world leader, how do you take any of them at their word when they say this is the U.S. position or on X? How do you negotiate? So basically what they're saying is we're looking weaker and weaker to the world, and people are pointing and laughing and scratching their heads.
Speaking about that, tomorrow our pal Dennis Campbell is going to be on again. He's got a new book out about Trump. So, and he's based in the U.K. He's a U.K. progressive.
Good.
So
good.
I always love getting the take on how the rest of the world looks at us.
I love the tweets I get from all over who keep asking me what's wrong with us. I mean, those are disturbing. They look at us, scratch their heads, and keep asking, can't you do something? No, I can't. All I can do is what I do. I vote. I talk loud, but. Okay, so Matthew Miller, who is the MSNBC Justice and Security Analyst, said Nunes, Gowdy, Goodlatte, how do you say his Goodlatte?
Yep.
I want to say good latte because it strikes me funny, but starting new Obama probes is what happens when you're stuck in the Fox feedback loop. Zero ability to call new plays. It's exactly what we were just talking about. And he goes on and says, these guys also couldn't be giving voters better evidence that House Republicans absolutely will not serve as a check on Trump.
It's sad. So now we got Corker, who's speaking out, and Flake, I guess, now, although not by name. But, you know, we need more than that. More of them need to stand up.
Yes. We do. And they better say his name. And David Drucker, CNN, he said the House GOP probes of not President Clinton are what Trump and the GOP base have been asking for 9 months. So they're finally getting their little digs in. Just amazing that they're regressing. Just amazing.
Yes,
to me.
I'm not surprised.
So yesterday I tweeted something. It was a quote from an article that I will get to you in a second. And it's getting it. Oh, my goodness. Where'd it go? What is going on? Oh, my goodness. Well, I'll try to find it in here. I can't believe it's gone. Where am I? Where's my quote?
Uh-oh.
It's gone, but I'm going to find it. Wait, can you talk for a second so I can do a search on the word?
Yep, I'll give you one of my tweets here from Daniel Dale, who you quoted before, D.C. correspondent for the Toronto Star. Donald Trump has just obliterated his one-week dishonesty record. He made 57 false claims last week, and it links to the Toronto Star, where they keep track of all of Trump's lies. I guess they picked up on the New York Times editorial from a month or so ago. And they're just keeping it going. So there's a Canadian newspaper detailing all of Donald Trump's lies. And they're keeping a running tally.
And I think the New York Times does it. A few papers are doing that now. Mm-hmm. Okay, I found the quote. Trump was saying that the Federal Reserve is important psychotically.
You know, I saw that psychotically.
He screwed up. He meant psychologically, I guess.
Oh, my God.
The article is on Vox. I'm going to get the link and put it in the chat room. It's called Trump's Latest Big Interview is Both Funny and Terrifying. And it's with Bartiromo.
Oh, Maria Bartiromo, the woman with the boobs.
Yes.
She was sitting behind him at the Al Smith dinner with her boobs hanging out. Boy, has she turned into one of those.
Yeah, well, their sub headline is POTUS swings and misses at the softest softballs.
Wow!
And so he does the psychotic thing, and there's these little little headings. Trump doesn't know anything about any issue in this article, and they go on to explain. So here's one. Trump shows a similar grasp of detail in describing his view of the bipartisan health care legislation from Patty Murray and Lamar Alexander. Here's what he said about that. Well, I have looked at it very, very strongly, and pretty much we can do almost anything, almost what they're getting at. I think he is a tremendous person. I don't know Senator Murray. I hear very, very good things. I know that Lamar Alexander's a fine man, and he really is in there to do good for the people. We can do pretty much what we have to without, you know, the secretary has tremendous leeway under the Obama plans. One of the things that they did, because they were so messed up, they had no choice but to give the secretary leeway because they knew he or she would have to be changing all the time, and we can pretty much do whatever we have to do just the way it is. So this was going to be temporary prior to repeal and replace. We're going to repeal and replace Obamacare. In other words, he had no idea what the plan was about.
None at all. None at all.
Zero. And then their next little sub-headline thing, Bartiromo keeps ineptly trying to cover for Trump, and then they give an example. And Trump undermines his own tough on Iran policies. They go on about that. Trump gets all kinds of facts wrong, and they give examples. This is how we live now. And they talk about, you know, a little recap. So unbelievable. Unbelievable.
This is frightening. It really is scary that this man is the president. I keep going back to that. How the hell did we get here?
Oh, I know how we got here. People said he sounds like me. I hate Clinton.
Yeah.
That's how we got
here. That's how we got here.
All right. So Trump, today was this? Is this today the 24th? Yes.
Yes, it is.
I tweeted this out. He said he was giving some photo op or whatever he was doing. I don't even remember what this was. He's on camera so much these days. Honestly, I cannot remember to separate.
Okay, well, tell me. Maybe I can fill you in on what it was.
Okay, he said, we have the lowest job numbers. And then he had to be corrected. I heard somebody say to him, unemployment numbers. And then he said, we have the lowest unemployment numbers.
All right, I don't know what that was. I have no idea.
I don't either. And it doesn't make any difference because he talks like that all the time.
Yes, well, because he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about.
No, at all. He doesn't even know when he's giving himself a pat on the back. He was just trying to brag, and
yes,
he couldn't.
Right, and make it about himself yet again.
Oh, yes. All right, so a protester was today.
Yes.
I'm
glad you're bringing this up. When he was going into the lunch, he was walking into the Capitol, into the Senate lunchroom, wherever they had their lunch today, with Mitch McConnell, and this guy, Ryan Clayton, jumped up and threw a bunch of Russian flags and started screaming, you know, the president is a traitor, right? Is that what you have
this,
there?
I was going to say the quote exactly. This president conspired with agents of the Russian government to steal an election. And then he yelled impeach, impeach or something. So, yeah, he threw Russian flags and right. everybody on TV was so taken aback. You know, we're like Casey Hunt going live. You know, she's there holding her mic out. And this happened. You should have seen all the reporters were like a stampede toward this guy. Their heads all turned at the same time.
And they all went quiet. And so you could hear him screaming. And it wasn't he didn't say impeach. He said something about he's treason. The president is treason or something like that.
Oh, was that treason? Maybe, yeah. Maybe it was treason.
It was treason.
Yeah. Chris, is this on this too? No, this was on Corker. Okay, so yeah, that's all I've got on this guy. So
okay, because
no,
I have a couple on this. Will Bunch tweeted out, funny, but you realize this will now be used to justify a crackdown on legitimate reporters, which has always been their dream. That's number one. And Haley Bird wrote, protesters, do you like a free press with access to ask questions of leaders and lawmakers or throwing little Russian flags and yelling? Pick one.
Right. Well, then right after that happened, I can't remember who it was, but it was somebody from one of the major publications said, thanks a lot, because now we have to show our IDs.
Right.
Press IDs, you know, to get in or to do what they're doing. Whereas I guess, you know, it wasn't as stringent. So, yeah, the guy meant well.
No, this guy is what he does. I don't even know what to call him. He likes to get himself in the center of attention. He was at a number of Netroots Nations that I went to, and
really?
always threw himself out there in the middle. Tried to make he got into a whole thing with Andrew Breitbart one year.
Oh yes, I remember this now. Mm-hmm. That was him,
Ryan Clayton.
Oh, wow.
The minute I saw him, I saw him, and I'm like, that looks like Ryan Clayton. And sure enough, then his name starts popping up.
I didn't realize it was that guy, but I could tell he was like, you know, that's what he does because he did it. It was obviously so well planned out and he was very comfortable. And an hour before he was in on the some Corker interview.
Yes, he was standing right there as I think Casey Hunt was interviewing Corker. And Corker was talking to everybody today. Corker was right there. And here's one thing from Elaine Grossman, who's a reporter. She wrote, a quote from Senator Corker, in our hearing process, certainly we're going to be addressing the ongoing risk of Trump alone holding nuclear codes. Good.
God, I don't want to think about nuclear codes. So Lysandra Villa from BuzzFeed, she said Corker says there wasn't interaction with POTUS or reference his comments during the meeting. And then Christina Wilkie, who is from CNBC, said, of course, nothing happened. Trump hates actual confrontations. Why he never fires staffers himself. And Corker already had the last laugh.
Well, Corker's not done yet, although he did say, you know, I've said all I'm going to say. My words stand for themselves or something like that.
Yeah, well, we'll see. He's getting a lot of, oh, God, Huckabee S is on TV. Oh, I guess she's holding a press conference. I'm surprised, but we'll find out if anything happened later. Finn Gomez of Fox said Corker to press after GOP policy meeting with Trump, quote, tax reform barely came up. So Jesse Lee, who was a special assistant to President Obama, said, let me guess, he talked about himself the whole time instead, because otherwise, why get out of bed? That's all my tweeties.
Mm. I've got a couple from Limericking.
Oh, great.
Okay. John Kelly, who we all know, right? John Kelly, who optimists thought would use the position he got to try to begin to make the admin less generally awful, did not. And I don't know if you heard that Sean Spicer got a job at Harvard. Yeah.
Yes, okay. I did. He can lie to them now.
Yep. So here's one on him. At Harvard, where learning is higher, positions are tough to acquire. But some who advance are given the chance to work with an eminent liar.
Perfect. Very well done. I did follow, but I keep missing their tweets because, you know, I follow too many people.
Yeah,
and they
know,
just zippity-doo-dah by.
Right. You know, it's hard to find them, you know, unless they somehow pop up. I put them on one of my lists, so they come up occasionally, but I miss them all the time. And it's like, oh, yeah, I forgot about them because
they're
so clever.
I put them on one of my lists, too, but I have too many on my list now, so it doesn't make any difference. I wonder what Huckabee S is saying about everything. You know, there's so much today that just came out that, you know.
Well, we didn't even talk about Bill O'Reilly.
Oh, my God. And Bill O'Reilly, you know, his agent just fired him.
No, his agent
his manager,
fired...
I put it out there. Let me see if I have it up here. I said, bye. Well, you would have to talk for me to find this.
Okay,
this
so,
is stuck somewhere.
So Bill O'Reilly, news broke yesterday that he settled another sexual harassment lawsuit himself privately for $32 million with this woman, Lise Weil, who was his legal expert. Here's Stephen Colbert on it.
We already knew that O'Reilly had previously settled 5 sexual harassment claims. Now it's come out that it's an even half dozen. Because it's being reported that back in January, O'Reilly made yet another payout to a woman alleging sexual harassment, this one for a record $32 million, which is exactly the sort of thing you do when you're innocent. The accuser this time was a Fox News legal analyst named Lise Weil, who, and this is true, was a regular guest on an O'Reilly Factor segment called Is It Legal? And the answer, for $32 million, survey says, no, it is not. Thanks for playing. Security will see you out.
I love that.
That was great. Okay, here it is. The Hill. O'Reilly dropped by talent agency after sexual harassment settlement scandal report. So his agency is UTA, United Talent Agency, which is a biggie. Will no longer represent him once his contract expires at the end of the year.
Wow. I mean, what a sleazeball. And then he goes on, he's like saying it's all about his kids. And then he goes on and blames.
Oh, that was disgusting.
He brings up Eric Bolling, whose kid allegedly committed suicide after there were similar allegations made against his father.
Yeah.
Right. So this, you're doing this to my children.
Poor you.
Ugh.
Poor little you.
What a
poor
sleaze.
Little Billio.
What a sleaze bag.
To make himself into the victim here is beyond laughable. It's disgusting as hell. And, you know, that he even tried to use that to get some kind of sympathy, or I don't know whether he can use it legally, if maybe that's why he was doing it. But that's just obviously not the case.
Well, apparently he apologized. He then came out and apologized. Cause
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I think, I gloss over stuff with his name on it. He's disgusting.
Yeah, I really don't follow that closely. I look at the headlines on that, and if it's covered on TV, you know, I'll pay a little bit of attention. But I mean, we all know who he is and what he is. And then today, 200 more women came out against that other. Oh gosh, what's his name? The other director. The LA Times had it. There were 30, I think, 32 or 36 women.
200 more.
Who?
You said 200 more?
200. I should look up LA Times for you if you want to kill 10 seconds, and I'll see if I can find it.
Go ahead. This is stunning. I think I know who you're talking about, and it was a name that, frankly, I wasn't familiar with.
James Toback,
yes.
The Writers Guild just came out and condemned him, too.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but he had... A few dozen women at first that they reported, I think, 2 days ago or whenever it was. And then this morning I got an alert that said 200 came out of the woodwork and talked about it. And it was all very similar stuff, too, the things that they quoted.
Now, you worked in theater, obviously.
Mm-hmm. And TV.
And TV. And you have stories like this to tell as well?
Not really. My big story, I never was approached the way these women, I never really had that big a problem, or maybe I let it roll off if it was just an off-color joke or something.
Mm-hmm.
But the only time I ever had anything obvious happen was when I tweeted about this. I was in the elevator. I worked at Goodson Todman Game Show Productions. You know, they do all the major game shows.
Right.
And Alan Sherman, my son, the folk singer.
Yeah.
He was a parody singer. His son worked there as a producer. A small, very nerdy looking guy. Obviously not attractive to women at all. I can tell you that just because you would agree, and I'm not saying this to be mean.
Mm-hmm.
He was a very odd person, and I was in the elevator with him and, of course, male producers. It was a full elevator, and I used to wear like those long skirts. Then he leaned over out of the blue. I don't even talk to him. He leaned over and lifted my skirt up.
Oh, my
so
God.
I turned around. Now, I was kind of a shy young woman. Uh-huh. I was very shy when I was a kid. I turned around and I pulled my own skirt up over my head and I said, okay, you've seen enough. And I dropped it down and he never bothered me again.
Good for you.
Yeah,
good
hell.
For you. I had a boss once in radio. We had to go to Chicago to get, we got TV commercials produced from Los Angeles. We flew to Chicago and obviously had separate hotel rooms. But at that, the one night we stayed over, I remember him trying to push himself into my room. Like, and I had to, I'm like leaning all my weight on the door saying, no, get out, get out, get out. And I pushed him out. And I remember standing there just shaking for probably 10 minutes.
Wow.
And then I had to fly home with him too. The next day. And that was my boss.
That's horrible.
Yep. So
that's
we all
scary.
Have those Me Too stories.
Yeah. God. Yep. I probably have more, but I can't remember any.
Yeah.
But that was the big one. And I was even surprised at myself. I never would do something. I mean, like, I was a shy girl. And for me to do that, I must have been really pissed off.
I guess. All right. Well, Laffy, what a way to wrap things up. But we must, because we're out of time. Gotta Laugh. Find her on the Twitters at Gotta Laugh, GOTTALAFF, and here on Tuesdays. Thank you, Laffy.
And at Laffy'sPlace.com.
Laffy'sPlace.com. I'll see you next time. Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.